sing song and scriptures, and we're praying in response to the love of God that has for us. We say we love God, and that because He first loved us. Amen? And this morning, we have nothing less than the truth to be sharing with one another in regard to our Lord Jesus Christ, who had sacrificed, who had left everything, emptied Himself, moved from heaven to earth to be the Emmanuel, God with us, this day and forevermore. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I am very grateful and I'm very happy to be here. I did not think that I would be standing here again. I thought I would be leaving a couple weeks ago, but because of the visa delayed, my family and I got to spend some more time here, and I got to stand here before you this morning and share the message, and to say to Pastor Coleman, who's probably watching us right now, say good morning to them one more time. And my family could not be here, but they are joining us, and I know that they are watching us, and but most importantly, they're praying for me, knowing what I feel when I'm on stage. So this morning, we're going to go to the book of Matthew. If you have your Bible, please turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. Now, this passage is about Joseph contemplating about what to do with Mary when he found out that, hey, we were just engaged, and we had not been married yet, and we had not come together yet, and my wife is with child. So he's thinking about what's the best way to get rid of her, maybe, but at the same time feel good about what he's doing, and with all the compassion, not want her to get in trouble. So try to find what's the best way for him, for his family, for her and her family. And so being a righteous man, that's what he did. But here's what, in this passage, you see what the angel from the Lord has a message for Joseph with a lot of assurance, with some instruction for Joseph to be obedient to. But most importantly, there's a message to come with that. So let's read with me, please. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from sins. And this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 14, that says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Wow. Not just to tell Joseph, keep this woman as your wife. Everything that's going on in her is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't send her away. Whatever you're going to do is you're going to shame her anyway. People are going to find out. But don't do this, because God has a plan. His plan is a child will be born and will be named Jesus. That means Savior, Savior of the world, to save his people from sins, saving us from sins. And then, toward the very end, the prophet from Isaiah says, a virgin will conceive a child by the Holy Spirit, and he shall be named Emmanuel. What an incredible title that is given to our Lord Jesus Christ. Think with me for a moment. Emmanuel. Please say with me, Emmanuel. And you can tell each other that God with us. Now, to amplify that a little bit, I want to share what it's like coming from a Buddhist background. We believe there's no personal God. God cannot come to be intimate with people. God cannot save. God cannot do anything to help us. We are on our own. We must do whatever we can, whatever it takes, to help ourselves. We know that there is sin. We know that there is heaven and there is hell. We know that on the hearts of many men and women, as Buddhists, we know. As a very child and growing up, I remember again and again, where is my hope? Where can I find hope? Where do my hope come from? That question is always ringing. I know one day, because you know, you go through a lot of wars and fighting and a lot of killings. People die on your left and right. And every day, the funerals that's going on and come from war, a machine. And then you started thinking, I'm next. But what happened after that? There's always that question of wanting to find hope in who would be my Savior? Who would save me from my sin? Who can forgive my sin? But then all the teaching from my ancestors down through my religion as Buddhist teaching us that God is not personal. God cannot be with human, cannot come to humanity and be with people as what we believe in Scripture, what the Bible says. Now, you and I have an enormous hope, the everlasting hope, for we know that God, the Emmanuel, had moved from heaven to earth, take on our humanity to make it possible. Now, that we can be with God, God can be with us. If you look through the Old Testament, there are many passages that were talking about how God created the world, especially his people. And his desire was what? To be with them and to have them be with him. And then what happened? We know what our ancestors decided to do. No, God, we're going to cut you off. As a matter of fact, we want to be on our own. We're going to depend on ourselves. We know better. We will define what is good, what is bad, what is right, wrong for ourselves. And we're going to teach our kids to do the same thing. So basically, humanity said to God, God, we don't want to be personal with you anymore. We don't want you to be personal with us. We want to be us on our own. Maybe not a big God, but at least we can be gods to ourselves. And we can save ourselves. Well, we know already that through the history that mankind, what happened after that? What was rolling after that? Sins and more sins, death, destructions, disparity, hurt, brokenness. To this very day, our world is broken. And many more years to come will still be broken. The brokenness can be restored only by the personal Lord, Savior Jesus Christ that came into the world. That's why in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 23, especially verse 23, that are telling us that this child shall be given the title, this incredible title. The only title is only given to one particular name, Jesus, but then said Emmanuel, God with us. Now, again, and if you go to John 1, so you have your Bible with me, please open to John chapter 1, verse 1, and then jump to 14. John explained to us a little bit more about this Emmanuel. I love everything. I love all the songs that we sung this morning. Everything. So the Lord had orchestrated everything to come together. I did not know that I would be here this morning. And you did not know. I'm sure the worship team did not know what message I'm going to be bringing this morning. But somehow, God had orchestrated all this. We can go further to say before the foundation of the world. If you believe what the Bible says and what I believe, this God is in all of this. He's in control of everything. He's sovereign over everything. Not to mention that he's blessed me with this morning. So in John 1:1 and 14, this is how John, the apostle, explained Emmanuel to us this way. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwell among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. No one had seen the Father but only the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came in the form of a human to be with us, carry that name, Emmanuel. Now, again, going back to explaining Buddhism, what I believe, not just Buddhism. I have other friends also who are Muslim. So in Cambodia, you have Buddhists, Hindus, and Muslims all together there. And we have something in common. We share all these three religions in Cambodia share something in common. God cannot be personal. You cannot know God, and God is nowhere to be found. And maybe if you're good enough, maybe you do good things, maybe you're good enough, maybe you find favor with God. Just maybe. Not sure. Okay. But Scripture says, now, God, the one who made everything, created everything, that brought everything into being, was with God from the beginning. And then he came to the world. He became flesh. He dwelt among men. And it did not end there. Even when after Jesus Christ was put on a cross, after he died, he was raised from the dead, and as he was going to the Father, he also said he would be back. And we'll look also at what he said toward the end, before he was leaving his disciple to go back to heaven. Now, these religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Muslim, thinking that we had to try everything, knowing this, that we are on our own. God's not here with us. So we have to do everything we can to earn God's favor, maybe earning God's favor, and then maybe that God will show us his love. But Scripture says that we love God because God first loved us. If you think about it, you talk about humanity. Mankind did not do anything. If anything that mankind ever accomplished, it's only bad and evil before God. So how could we ever come to the point where we said we had accomplished the ultimate good, therefore we deserve God to come to earth to save us? None of that. As a matter of fact, we're so far from that. But here's God's plan, his desire from the very beginning. Made man so that we can have fellowship with him. And God desires so much to be with man, to be with his people. And that time was waited. That time was kind of his purpose and plan was kind of put on hold because of man's disobedience. But God was never hesitated to roll that plan out to one day. We know that probably more than 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ came to make all that possible. So he came here. He said, I was the Word. I was the Word. Now I became flesh. And I am walking among you in the land of Palestine and Israel. And then he would go back to his Father. But then after he'd go back to his Father, he did not stop there. He said, I will send the Holy Spirit who will be with you. And then when you go to the end of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 20, he says, lo, I am with you always to the very end of the earth. And the song was singing to you, singing the song. And in the prayer also talk about that one day there'll be no separation between you and God. Me and God, we'll be with God forever. Many founders of these great religions cannot claim that they're gods or that they're the gods, Emmanuel, the God with us. But Jesus Christ did that. Jesus Christ said, I am Emmanuel, God with us. Many religions cannot say that he is the way, the truth, and the life. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. So if you look at John 14, verse 6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In Buddhism, there's no clear distinction between Creator God and creation. But what we believe in the Bible, in the truth from God, that there is clear distinction. A creation or the created beings cannot create God. God cannot be molded and made into our image. God created man, mold us into his image to be like him, but not for him to be like us. And so the Emmanuel that came to the world, had made it very personal to us, give us a great contact with God that we would have otherwise have. So we have this God that all the world religions said, no, there's no personal God. No, there is no God with us. No, there's no help from above. You're on your own. But we know that our God, he's living today. And this room is very silent and quiet. And that is good. Because your spirit's in tune with the Spirit of the Lord. Now, if you look a little deeper, you know that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you right now. You can't escape that. Now, I cannot say that when I was a Buddhist. I could not tell you that there was a God that would speak to me. There's some one personal being that is living in me, residing in me, talking to me, communicating to me, listening to me, hear what I am saying, understand my heart, what I'm going through. I could not say that. But since I became a Christian, all that changed. This Emmanuel took roots in my heart, made it very clear. And so to the point where I can testify to you that the God that you and I believe is very real. And you can ignore him. You cannot ignore him. You can turn him off a little bit. You can put him off a little while by drowning his voice by the things that we have around us. But just a matter of time, he'll be back in that heart and your conscience and start talking to you more. And you start talking to him. He wrestled with you. You start wrestling with him. And then at the end you say, Lord, you are God. You are personal. You are my Savior. I am just your created being. You are the Creator. So in Christianity, there's a clear distinction. We have the Creator God that made man. Now, in the religions of the world, we create all sort of image and pictures. We made everything God. And we're causing them for our hope and for salvation. But in Jesus Christ, there's only one God. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ alone that we can call to for our salvation and for our hope. In Buddhism, from everything, the smallest to the greatest being in life, they mix it all up. And so if you talk to Buddhists, if the Lord allows you to meet some Buddhists, that come in through your life, a workplace, a school, understand them, that they have no hope and directions in life, and you have the hope to offer to them, especially around this time of year that they're very open. They talk about Christmas openly. In Cambodia right now, actually, since November, this month, December, and to January of next year, Christmas is still going on. People are still proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ, the Emmanuel God in this world, that are coming to give them hope, coming to be personal God to them, just as he has been personal to you and me in this walk with him. In Colossians 1:16, help us to understand even more the difference between creation and a creator God. In Colossians 1:16 says, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters, you have a great heritage. You have a great truth that need to be protected at all costs. They've been passing down to you, and there were men and women laying down to sacrifice their life and resources so that you and I could have the gospel come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through this truth. And only that, you sent missionaries throughout the world, especially during this Lottie Moon offering, you got to collect an offering that would make it possible for more than 3,300 missionaries from the Southern Baptist Convention to be all over the world, to take the gospel of hope and the words of the Emmanuel to all the people, to all the boys and girls, young men and women, school children throughout the world, so they can hear this hope, this message from Christ, so that they too can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So that as you reflect on your faith and as you embrace this incredible title that you said, I am a Christian, I am a child of God, I belong to the Emmanuel, God with us. Brothers and sisters, please remember other people throughout the world that have not heard the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people who are unreached, unengaged, no one there and there among them to share the gospel with them. No one there to proclaim the message among them. No believers to live among them so that they can see the incarnate life of believers, of Christ through believers in their community and in their villages and towns and cities and school and workplace. Remember them, ladies and gentlemen. And at the same time, I'm sure you and I, we do have family members. We have aunts and uncles, grandparents maybe, and a lot of others, brothers and sisters, that do not have the Emmanuel, do not have God with them. They go through everything on their own. They try everything on their own, solve every problem, carry all the burdens, only to a dead end. To an end, they find everything around just disparity. But we do have a hope. We do have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember them, pray for them. And what about this? I want to challenge you that as believers, as one that's carried the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and have the Emmanuel with you, what is your life to be in the next, just say, 25 years, 30 years from now? How would you like your life, how would you like your next 25 to 30 years to be like? Would that life be proclaiming? Would that life be lived in a way that people do see that God with us? Because if you do, many more men and women, many more souls will come to this knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and will also come to know the Lord God with us as well. There's no greater hope. And as I am going back to Cambodia, or should I say, as I am being sent back by you to Cambodia, this message will be proclaimed week after week, day after day, from one village to another, wherever doors open, whether it's at school, whether opportunity with the government, whether we're at the university campuses, anywhere and everywhere, whichever God lays on our path, this message will be proclaimed. Because there's only one Father, one Creator, one Savior, one Spirit, one baptism, one salvation. It's only under one God where every knees will be bowed, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Would you please stand with me? Please direct your heart and mind to God and allow His Spirit to speak to you. If you have allowed many things, including the worries of this life, the future, the plans for the future, for your life, for your children, for yourself, for your children, for your grandchildren, to the point that the Emmanuel is not in the forefront of your life every day, to the point you haven't thought about the Emmanuel for a while because you've been consumed by so much of this world. Talk to God. He is the Emmanuel. He's with you. And ask Him to, Lord God, rekindle my spirit and help me to once again see the light of the Emmanuel. And remind us that You are with us. And what we need to do with that message, with knowing that we have God with us, what we need to do with that to those who haven't heard, those who do not know. And they don't have to be far away from You. They could be near. They could be in the same home with You. They could be riding to work with You. They could be sitting, drinking coffee with You. They could be one that read a newspaper with You. They could be the one to share your Facebook page with You. They could be the one that reading what you are writing. Allow God to use you, brothers and sisters. Let the Emmanuel be known, not just to you, your children, your grandchildren, but to all your friends, to all the people of the world, starting from here. And take a moment to thank the Lord God for His desire to be with us. That no matter what man's plan to stall that, to derail that, God was faithful throughout history, divinely intervening in the history of mankind, in the lives of our forefathers, those who have been here before us, through the life of the apostle who were willing to lay down their lives so that the gospel can be spread throughout the world and here to America, now throughout the world. Thank him for that light. Thank him for that truth, for that title of the Emmanuel, because the world doesn't have that. And remember that this Emmanuel required everything from you. He required total obedience from you to live a life of submission before him. If anything or anyone you want to resist, resist the devil. Lay down all your plan, all your dream, all your worries, all your anxieties at the foot of Christ. And say, God, I submit to you. And brothers and sisters, also I would say that please do not compartmentalize your life to surrender a certain part of your compartment to the Lord, but surrender all to this Emmanuel. Father, Lord God, thank you so much for your love for us, that while we were dead in our sins, you loved us. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, the greatest blessing, the greatest gift throughout the history of mankind. Thank you, Lord God, for being mindful of us. We are just created beings. Thank you for creating us, making us, molding us through the power of the Holy Spirit to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Lord God Emmanuel that you have sent into the world. Thank you for your words that were spoken from the very beginning and then came to the world to dwell among us. And through the Holy Spirit, we still have the word with us this day. And we do know, Lord Father, that day will come where we will be with you forever, seeing you face to face. In the world where we will not need any more light or face any dark in the night, because you will be light to the world. Father, we look to that day, the day we can come before you, Father, on our knees, confessing to you, O Lord God. And we want to start it even now to say that you are Lord God of the universe. You are worthy of all the glory and praises of this world, especially from the heart, from the spirit, from the soul, from the mouth of your people. Father, forgive us. Forgive our hearts that have wandered away from you. We are so prone to this, O Lord God. Somehow, so subtly, we allow things that the world promised us to give to us. We find comfort and complacency in it to the point that we forgot to think about you, that our relationship may be not as deep and shallow, and perhaps taking you for granted, Lord God, the Emmanuel God. Lord God, help us to live this truth, knowing that you're with us always to the very end of the earth. Help us, O Lord God, to live every moment of our lives until that day, whether you will come or we will go to you, to make every day count, for the only thing that will last is a treasure that will be stored up in heaven, and we will be leaving everything behind us one day. Lord God, strengthen us, live through us, and allow and help us, Father, to allow you to live through us, to magnify your name through our submission to you. Father, pray our spirit will not resist through your words, through the truth, through your spirit that is speaking to us, that we'll come before you with complete surrender to you, not a certain compartment of our lives, but surrender all. For in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, we praise, we breathe, we hope, we live, we love, and we share the Emmanuel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.